On Voices Matter today, we will talk about a new book that is going to be launched this week. And this book has been written by Gregory Asha. And Greg is my guest today here in the studio. Hello, Greg.
Thanks, Francesca. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to meet you and great that you could make it for this interview. So tomorrow you will launch your new book. Is it the first book that you've written?
No, not exactly. I've written a few books. My last book was actually, the title is Discovering Yourself, which sold very well. But this is the next book after a long time.
So this book is kind of special. It's about you personally. It's your memoir, and it's called I'm Okay. So maybe first of all, why did you decide to write your memoir?
So last year, I had a very difficult time. I had a very difficult year. So I had complete burnout, acute burnout from work, and I was on medical leave. So during this time, I was at home, but struggling health-wise. And one of the things that came up was from my therapist and also from my family. They continue to encourage me to tell the stories, some of the stories that I've told them, on the dinner table for my family, but my therapist during the therapy sessions. So that was what, encouraged me to start writing the book. Actually started writing journal. And as I continue to write the journals, I started to unlock more and more experiences of the past that somehow have been locked up somewhere. That was how the book, now evolved to, what it is today. But it is a memoir of survival, resilience, ultimately success and triumph.
So the book in the end, you say it's positive. It's something that's meant to inspire, to strengthen people.
Correct. So this is a book of hope. I call it a book of hope, giving this generation the hope to believe in themselves, to realize that inside every one of us, there is the human spirit is so strong and resilient that, if you can push in to the next day, if you can just keep going and keep pushing, you will see yourself on the other side. No matter what situation you're facing, no matter what, your current circumstance is.
You yourself, you grew up in Africa, in Nigeria, as an orphan, and now you're here in Luxembourg. You work for a large company and are quite successful. So I imagine that this story for you, your personal story, was very inspiring for this book.
Yes, that's correct. The memoir text starts with my life in Africa when I was born, losing my mom at 4, and where I'm from, where I was born, and the time I was born. Losing a mother at 4 basically condemns you to be unsuccessful, to be a failure. But despite all that odds, I continued to push on. And one thing that kept me going was hope. Every night when I laid down on the mat or on the floor and looking up to the ceiling, I was thinking and hoping that the next day would be better. That's what kept me going and kept me pushing on. And afterwards, I struggled all through my secondary school. Struggled in the sense of financially being able to, because in Nigeria, you pay your fees. You pay the school. There's no free education. To pay my school fees, during my university days, I was working in the night and going to school in the day. And this was very unique. Even up to today, there are no such arrangements in Nigeria like it is in Europe, maybe in some European countries where you can work and go to school. And was one of those unique cases. And I was, at some point, I was actually supporting myself and also supporting other non-privileged or orphans, with their studies.
So how did you manage actually to go to university and to make this step? I imagine, especially if you grow up in a situation where it's not that easy, that it's even not only difficult, but also maybe unimaginable.
So it's courage, determination, and you know, I would say the last thing is hope, hoping that the next day will be better. So every day I had the courage to know that the only way I can change my situation was to get education. The only way I can, you know, take myself from my poor village to be something in successful or someone successful was to be courageous enough to face the next day. And then the tool I used to face the next day was hope, hoping that the situation I am today will be completely different when the day will break.
What was then the event or the step that made the situation change definitely?
There are so many events, you know, and I think I mentioned also in the book that my life has been punctuated by what I'll call helpers. And I'm also a believer in God. I believe that God has punctuated my life with a helper, one helper or the other. So when I went to the university, like I said, most students were basically coming to school to study. You know, the money was provided to them, but I was working in the night to be able to pay for my school fees, to be able to buy my books, to be able to leave and be able to go to school. But because in all these things, I kept a very positive attitude, positive spirit. I became endeared, you know, to my professors and directors, who, by the way, did not know what my situation was, because you would never know from my facial appearance or from my demeanor. So it endeared me to them, you know, that at some point, you know, some of them even started to support me, even without knowing what my situation was. So all through my life, I have always had helpers prop up to support me, be it during my secondary days, so, you know, the high school days, or during the university, or even after the university. Somehow, I had opportunity to travel out of Nigeria, first to Poland. And through all that journey, I've always been punctuated with helpers. I got into Italy, which is now like my second home, and got so many families. I have so many families now in Italy that I can call my own. But one of the, you know, families that is very near and dear to me is the Ricci family that took me like their own. They literally adopted me. And I have helped me along the way to be where I am today.
Do you still have contact to your own family in Nigeria?
Yes, I do. I still try to, because I've been away from them for a very long time. So as you can imagine, the bond has kind of weakened. But that's one of my priority now, to kind of reforge those bonds, you know, get those bonds stronger. And possibly even meet with them, you know, bring them over, you know, to spend more time, you know, with them. You know, because life is very fragile, right? You know, the time we have to make sure that we spend them together and then we can rebond again as a family.
What was then the steps? How did you come to Luxembourg?
I think in my whole life, I think that was one of the easiest. But basically, I came to Luxembourg because, you know, I got a job that required me to relocate here.
And since then, so you said that you had this phase of burnout. In general, how have you been mastering Luxembourg and life in Luxembourg?
Yeah, so with the relocation and the nature of my job, because I also got, you know, extended role, but also I've also changed a lot of roles since I came to Luxembourg, actually, since 2020. So at some point it became very overwhelming. And I actually didn't realize that I was on the path of burnout, but until I had a blackout, complete blackout, after a call with my team. Everyone left the call. And I was still on the call. I had a blackout for 2.5 hours. I didn't know where I was. I've had the help of, I would say, the best doctors. They have been very close to me. They have been very helpful. They have helped me to understand, first, my relationship with work, what that relationship should be, but also help me understand what is most important to me. With their help and support, I have been able to redirect myself, understand what is most important. And right now, I do the things I love to do. I prioritize, you know, the people who are most important to me. Because before now, everybody was my priority. Helping everybody was my priority. But now I understand that I cannot boil the ocean. I focus my attention, my effort to those who are most important to me.
Well, the book, I'm Okay, you say these are your memoirs. A memoir is basically a look back to your life, to the life of the writer. Which part of your life plays the largest role in this narration that you've created there?
I would say the part of my life that played the most important role would be my childhood, losing my mother at 4. And at that age, I didn't actually realize what happened. All I knew was that she went to the hospital. And for me, she was in the hospital until last year. You know, I was still expecting her to return. Somehow, something inside of me, you know, was feeling that one day the door will open and she will walk in and say, "Hey, I'm back." And that's the most important scene, if you will. And then going through all the funeral and then kind of realizing that something has happened and there's a separation that, you know, took place.
Do you still remember these events of your childhood?
Very vividly. Actually, some things that have happened between childhood and now, some of them I don't remember. Like, you know, after writing the book, I had to send it to my brother, who is a professor in finance, you know, to read through it. And when he read through, he reminded me of things, some certain things. But those childhood memories are like, you know, like they're like movies, prints in my mind that I cannot, you know, I cannot delete. I can't get away from. They kind of, you know, very vivid and clear.
You said that your book mainly aims to inspire others as well. What do you think can other people learn from this experience that you made?
So a couple of things. One, that every one of us with a human spirit have got resilience and courage and strength to forge ahead. If you can push a little bit more, you will get to the other side. Two is to keep hope alive. Without hope, you're hopeless and you don't have expectation for tomorrow. So it's just like a woman who is pregnant. She knows that she has something inside of her, a baby inside of her. She may be struggling with her health, struggling with the load, but she has a hope that one day that baby is going to come out and she's going to carry her baby. So keeping hope alive that one day the situation will change. And most importantly, not giving up. So, like I said, the title says, I'm okay, right? No, sometimes you are not okay. Appreciating and recognizing that it's okay not to be okay, but having the hope that one day the story will change.
Maybe very quickly talk about the title of the book. So on the one hand, yes, it's the message of I'm okay, the message that you just said, but it's also a play with your own name, right?
That's
so
correct.
It's not the normal, the regular writing of okay.
That's correct. So the word I'm okay, the title, and I give all the credit to my daughter, Maria, who we are brainstorming, and she said, hold on, guys, I'm okay. And I said, what? You know, and then she wrote it out. So the okay, if you can see, has the A-E joined together. So normally if somebody asks you, how are you? You say, I'm okay, right? O-K-A-Y. But the E is my name, my Nigerian name, which is Okechukwu. That means God's portion. But the diminutive of Okechukwu is okay, O-K-E-Y. So it's a fusion of okay and okay. Basically introducing myself and saying that despite all the situations, all the troubles that I've gone through in life, all the ups and downs, I'm okay. I'm still here and I'm still hopeful.
That sounds like a great message. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Greg Asher in our interview, writer of the book I'm Okay, that's going to be published tomorrow evening on Wednesday at 6 p.m. at Novotel Kirchberg. And the book launch is followed by a panel discussion around the issue. If you are interested in going, you're very welcome. Just send an email to Greg to register for the event tomorrow. You will find the email address together with this interview on our website, rrcityradio.com.